Man, hi everyone, how y'all doing?
As we transition from last week, what I spoke about we following we in our dreams and things, I do want to kind of tell you about this land, how this ended up as a school, Trident Academy. Back in the 70s, there were a group of ladies at a church, and I've never been able to find out which church it was in the area, but they had a heart for students who had difficulties at school, particularly reading difficulties. So this group of ladies started at their church during the week tutoring or classes to help people who had challenges with reading. Specifically, it was dyslexia. And you can imagine way back in the 70s, there wasn't as much as there is today to help students like that. Well, the thing grew so much at their church that they realized they needed to start a school. They needed to start something. So this land was actually owned, and I'm probably going to mispronounce the name, by the Detyens family. Is that right? He donated this land for there to be a school built here. So that's how Trident Academy started. So this land was birthed out of a group of ladies in a church trying to help young people who were having challenges, and someone gave the land. So for me, what that says is that this land has kingdom purpose all over it. Different people from different areas of life working together to help others. And so, you know, when we're on this land, I would just ask that you would continue to pray that God's kingdom would be blessed through this. And, you know, especially young people and all of us. And, you know, I'm old, but I'm young at heart. So you can include me in that. By the way, I also said last week, how good is God in answering our prayers? I said, this church needs more science teachers. I didn't know that Nathan over here teaches science. And actually, he's not just a science, he teaches like AP physics, super science. I thought he was a math teacher. He does also teach math, but, you know, God knew I prayed, and what do you know? So what else do I need today? Let's see. What other career can we come up with? So, going back to the young people and transitioning from last week, I want to share a Facebook post of a good friend of mine. His name is Bennett Uhas. And this is a post on his Facebook public page, August 13th of this year. Guys, imagine this. I love the word imagine there for Bennett. Bennett taught me how to imagine. Anyway, little 11-year-old Bennett not yet had brain surgery, not yet been to the school that would change my life, but was going to Australia to take his sister to college, Hillsong College. Within a few days, I knew right away that it was my future. It was my dream. Fast forward. Brain surgery needed in order to get a tumor out. Doctors tell me I wouldn't have very good hand-eye coordination after surgery. Bennett's a drummer. Two things you need for drumming: rhythm and hand-eye coordination. As far as I can tell, being an outsider looking at that. All right. Then I found a school that was perfect. It had my best friends and built my faith. Years passed, and that dream is not forgotten. Now I'm attending Hillsong College as a drummer. I've been having these oh my gosh moments when I walk into college and see the welcome home sign I've seen as a kid, or skating around with friends and then look over and there's the opera house. Guys, this is insane. So good. Bennett's at Hillsong College, which is in Australia. And if Bennett would have come to you and if any 11-year-old had come to you and said, one day I'm going to go do this, we'd all be like, that's great. You know, go clean your room. Okay. And yet he pursued and he worked and he had effort. He didn't let that dream, he didn't forget about it. He didn't know how necessarily it would happen. He had wise people tell him, you're not going to be able to do this. Doctors, and my dad's a doctor, I love him, I get it. And he just kept trusting God and kept going and kept going. And now his dream is a reality. Well, this week, Liz and Aaron shared with us that Bennett just got there back in August. It's his first year, and they're what they call intake students, about a class of 150 to 200. Bennett was the first of his intake class to be asked to play in an actual Hillsong service. The kid who wouldn't have hand-eye coordination, who just literally followed a dream from when he was 11. I like that. And that's why I do. I like it. Why I said, I want God to stir those things up. And I remember, you know, things from when you're a kid, let God stir those up, that imagination, that future, that everything that's there. And I want to hear what your dreams are. I want to be a part of your dream. I want you to be part of my dreams. That's why I said the we follow we. Did y'all notice I sat in a chair last week? How many of you were doing this from the beginning of the service? Yeah, well, I'm going to preach over here to this section today. Specifically, no. About a month ago, someone in the church came to me and said, hey, I had a vision or a dream in it, and I saw you sitting in a chair being chatty with us. One, I'm not a chatty person, generally. But this person has come to me before with dreams and things like that, and I've trusted her. And so I said, you know what? God didn't tell me that necessarily, but I trust you enough that the first Sunday in this building, I'm willing to sit in a chair just to see. I liked it. But, you know, this week I'm not doing it. Because, you know. But that's kind of the thing. I want to go there, because in order for us to operate all together, we can't have just one person getting it all. And so we've got to be willing to listen to each other and to follow each other's imaginations from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9 is the first scripture we have today. Now, we're also working out kinks with things. We're, you know, the scripture showing up, the sound, the different things. It's going to take some time to fit completely into the building, but we're going to get there, all right? 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We don't have everything. We can't see or hear everything God has for us. But another way that God has input into us is entering it into our hearts. Look at that again. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Three ways there that I believe that verse says we can have input. Now, the verse is saying it hasn't happened yet. Okay, God, we don't know everything yet that God has for us. But then we can go to Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God does have thoughts towards us, and he wants to give us a future and a hope. Well, how does he do that? How can we, with our ears and our eyes, see or hear into the future? I don't know. How do we normally treat people who come around saying, I've had a vision of the future. I've seen it with my eyes. Okay. But God can communicate it into our hearts. And I believe the way he does that is by giving us dreams. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about dreams when you're asleep at night. I love those, believe in them. God can do things through those. I'm talking about more of heart dreams. You know, your imagination. God can talk to you and show you something that you can't necessarily see or touch or hear or feel. And I think there are three kinds of those type of heart dreams. The first one that I've discovered are the ones that are possible. Hey, this could happen. Hey, we can make that. We can work on this. We can get somewhere. The second are what I call romantic fantasies, which are pretty much emotionally based, which is why I call them romantic. And then the last one, the no way, no how, it ain't going to happen. That just one day your brain, you're like, I got to get better control of my brain to think thoughts like that. That's just not going to happen. By the way, as a guy, my marriage started that way. It was like, no way is she going to say yes to go on this date with me. But I had to try. You know, it only takes one to say yes, right? Right, guys? It only takes one. All right. Amen. Okay. We can have 100 dreams and only one come true. But boy, when that one comes true, when this one dream came true for Bennett. Bennett shared lots of things with us that he wanted to do, but this was the one, and it came true for him, and it changed his life. So I kind of want to go through these as briefly. What do we do with these types of dreams? Well, let's start with the possible ones. And since we're imagining things and we need to the heart of a child, I thought we would talk about our possible dreams using the example of Dora the Explorer. Okay. How many of you have seen Dora the Explorer? How many of you wish you hadn't ever seen Dora the Explorer? Amen. Amen. There we go. Yeah, I'm with you. No. But what Dora does is Dora has a destination in mind, a goal, a dream that she wants to reach. And so she pulls up this map. The map comes out and shows her the direction, and way off in the distance is her goal. So the first thing Dora does is she has this dream way off. She puts it down on paper. She's got a map. This is my goal. Here's where I am. And she considers, what do I have to do to get from here to there? In other words, it's no longer out there somewhere floating around. It's, all right, let's put this on paper. I read a quote recently that a fantasy is a vision without any willpower. Fantasy is a vision without any willpower. So in other words, I've got this dream out here. Am I really going to pursue it? Or am I just going to, eh? So Dora puts it down on paper, and she's ready to go. All right, Psalms 37:3 says, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So Lord, what are the steps I'm going to take? Where am I going to go in this? I believe this might be from you, God. If it is, show me the steps. Don't let me just wander and hopefully one day I'll hit it by accident. Show me the steps to this possible dream. Now, the second part about Dora that I kind of like and is fun is Proverbs 11:4, and I used this scripture last week. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In other words, we need people around us that we're talking to about our heart dreams and our issues. Dora has this little monkey named Boots. And Boots is almost like a sounding board. They talk to each other. Dora has questions, and Boots sometimes has answers and shares those answers. And shockingly enough, Boots always has an answer because they've written the script out and they know. Unfortunately, in life, we don't get to live life looking hindsight. Oh, that's the person I should talk to. So that's why the scripture there says a multitude. You don't know who's actually going to have the counsel you need. But you also don't want to just throw it to the wind at everybody and put it on Facebook. Hey, I got this idea. Someone give me advice. Doesn't really work that well, okay? But you do understand when we're talking about revealing your dream, these are heart dreams, you're also opening up your heart to people. And we don't want to open up our heart to just anyone or everyone. And we are going to have to realize that you want to find those people that you have love with, you have an atmosphere, a fertile atmosphere for your dreams to grow that you can share, but that you also trust. And what do I mean by trust? I mean, you got to have the trust enough to know people love you enough that when you share your dream, they look at you and do that and go, I don't think that's so good right now for you. And you have to trust that they might know you better, know what's better for you. So you have to have that firm relationship with those people. For instance, Dora could say to Boots, hey, let's go do this. Dora needs to have the relationship with Boots that Boots can say, I'm a monkey and even I think you're crazy. Okay? You need that. And realize that you need to be strong enough also to know that sometimes your dreams are going to get laughed at. They're going to get made fun of. And you have to have the humility to go in and say, I'm willing to share this and open it up, to be vulnerable, to have your things laughed at. When we started the school and were sharing about it with people, I was laughed at quite a bit. Quite a bit. I think God wants me to do this. Well, it must be God, because it's not going to work any other way. There's a recession going on. All the schools are firing people. They're closing their doors. And you want to... That was a great day. I enjoyed that day a lot. So you have to be humble about it and realize, if I'm going to open myself up to everybody, I need to understand that I'm getting counsel here. You're not looking for the cheerleader squad then to jump up and down and say, yay, yay, I know it's 42-0, but there's 30 seconds left in the game. You can do it. All right? Yeah. You've got to open yourself up to that, all right? Now, you want to be firm in what the Lord's told you, but also understand that sometimes I might miss what the Lord has told me. Sometimes I might be off because I'm human. And so we really, when you're sharing your dreams with someone, you really want to know them, you really want to trust them, but you also want to be humble enough to know, it's possible I miss something. Not very likely, but possible, okay? But when you share those dreams, someone might have the same dream, and then you've got a little club joined together. One can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight, only if they're working together. Only if they've shared hearts, they've shared dreams. Great example of this is having children. Usually it takes someone else to have children with you. All right? I mean, that's the way I've discovered it works. Sarah, when we're young, is like, I'd like to have 5 children. And she used psychological warfare on me. With those blue eyes and those blinking eyelashes, I'd like to have 5 children. And I was like, whatever you want, baby. And they're like, wait a minute, what did I just say? What? No, she didn't actually do that. We found out. You know, think about that when people are dating. Is this the one? Is this not the one? How many kids do you want? I don't want any kids. I want 5. Talk about sharing your dreams and your heart with someone. That's putting yourself out there, being vulnerable. But Sarah and I shared that, and we found we both did want about 4 or 5 kids. We're like, wow, that's really cool. Now, what else does it take? Well, on Dora's trip to her goal or destination, she usually has to go through 2 or 3 things. Cross a river, go under a bridge, find all the numbers 1 through 8. I don't know what it is. But she has these landmarks. She's mapped it out, and she has these landmarks. I need to do this goal. I need to do this goal. I need to do that goal. In other words, when she gets to these goals, she has to have some effort. She actually has to put in some sweat equity. It's not just going to happen. And she works towards those things. Now, the other thing that Dora needs is she needs stuff. She gets to some of these places and she needs things. Are we ready for our... And there's this great little song that y'all are going to love. Parents of children who are done with Dora, I apologize. We can pray for healing after the service. Wherever Dora goes, she's carrying her little backpack. And I don't know if you heard the song, anything you might need is in that backpack. Anything you might need. So Dora gets to these tasks, and sometimes she needs something from the backpack, sometimes she doesn't. But she has it with her. So I want to go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read verse 9, where it says, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared, nor entered into the heart of man. What follows that? Well, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Boy, that's interesting. There's things that God has communicated to my spirit that He sends His Spirit into to find deep in my spirit that I don't know about until His Spirit comes into my spirit to reveal them. That's interesting. I'm going to have to listen to that one again. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Everything we need at the right time, we know that's been freely given to us. So I would like to put forth theologically today that Dora's backpack is the equivalent of the Holy Spirit. I got a lot of parents out in the audience rubbing their head. Whatever you might need. We map out the plan, the landmarks, and I get there. Oh, my gosh, God, I didn't know I would need that. Hey, here it is. Holy Spirit, search something. Give me, reveal something to me. Here it is. I got it. I got what you need. Wow, that excited me. The other things that happen is it takes time. It takes time. I watched a video this week of an actual race between a tortoise and a rabbit. You know the story about the turtle and the rabbit who wins? Massive tortoise, this rabbit, they start the race, they got a thing laid out, a course. The rabbit goes off in three hops and gets to the middle. I mean, the tortoise has barely like got a foot up. And then the rabbit just, whoa, look at all the people. Whoa, look here. And the tortoise is going. And the tortoise is going. And the rabbit's just there, doing nothing. And the tortoise is almost at the end, and you're like, if the rabbit would just take two more hops, he'd win. He's that fast. And y'all, it's a long video because turtles are slow. And you just want, you're like, okay, I know what's going to happen here. And then the turtle wins. Turtle showed effort, step by step, slow and steady. He kept going. It took a lot of time. The rabbit was off quickly and just kind of lost it. Time. Fulfilling dreams takes time. But the other thing it does is that over time, your dream is refined and it's pruned. Parts that you thought were there get cut out, or maybe the whole thing gets cut out. But it gets pruned down to this is exactly what I was saying to you. That's good there. And eventually, you reach that dream. And it may there, you may start out trying six or seven dreams and only get one or two of them. Not, and it doesn't mean necessarily that you failed or that anyone's failed. It just didn't happen. That's life. That's why you have backup dreams. You know, your whole life is not based on this one thing. Now, let's talk about the next one. The romantic or emotional fantasy. This is especially when you need counselors to help you say, hey, you were, you know, a little bit too far out there. Let's refine it. Maybe this is one you wait on. Maybe this is something else like that. One of our dreams is taking people over the world in mission trips. And we were going to Paraguay years ago, and we normally take groups of at least 10. 10 is our baseline. And if we don't get 10, we usually don't go. We just say it didn't work out this time. You know, whatever reason, we'll try again next year. This time, we ended up with four, myself, Sarah, and two teenagers, all right? And I was like, well, it looks like this one's not happening. But over this whole time, Sarah and I were doing our normal mission routine from 9 months before the trip. We're meeting with these people. We're praying. We're saying, what's God saying? What are we going to do? We're training. And we get up to close to the due date, and we're like, do we cancel this? There's only four of us, for goodness sake. And we heard a very firm, clear no from the Lord. I want you to go. Okay, it doesn't make sense to me. We went, we joined with another team. We had a great week with these two young people. One of them now, actually, last I heard, was actually working for a ministry in Southern California where he takes Bible clubs into public schools. That's his career, as of last I've heard. The other one, Sarah and I have been mentoring, and she had a dream for years to go to this place in the world. She wanted to be in missions. She was setting it up. She was pursuing it. She was getting there, and she met with us about 6 weeks ago, and she came to us, and she said, I haven't come and talked with you guys for a while because, that thing I was doing that y'all were helping me with, it kind of died, and I didn't want y'all to be mad at me. We're like, we're not mad at all. At all. But she found a different way for her dream to go on. And she's now going to go to a different place in the world and teach Wycliffe Bible Translators children for a year to a place she never thought she would go to. And we kind of counseled her through it, that you had this dream, you thought this had to be it. God used what you worked on in that dream and that effort, and he's using it for something else. And so why did we go on that trip? Was it a romantic fantasy? Well, we want to do mission trips. We love it. We're emotionally tied to them. But the whole reason we went on the trip and spent those 6 months was so we could be with those two kids and give them what they needed. It's hindsight. All right? It's hindsight there. But sometimes, as with this young lady, it's okay to let the dream go. It's okay to say goodbye to it. It's okay to let it die. And one day maybe someone else will pick up that dream from God. Or maybe someone you know and you've put in that time and effort to help them. You just don't know why it's there. Now, the no way dreams. These are the ones that are easy to figure out, because as soon as you have them, you laugh at them and you say, no way, that's not going to happen. And you're like, whatever, God. And you almost dismiss it out of your mind. And you don't think about it again until it, boom, hits you in the face. You're like, oh, yeah. Or you think there's just, did you hear the Holy Spirit there? Did you hear that in the building? That's awesome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. No. Part of the reason why I encourage you to pursue your dreams is to get the experience with other people and with your dreams to know, to be able to differentiate when it is God and when it's just your heart or emotions. If you don't ever step out and try, you're never going to learn the difference of when it is God or when it's not. If you don't get counsel, you'll never have the experience of being told no. Okay? So, you get this no way dream and you're like, okay, God, well, I'm giving this to you. I'll just pray for it. There's no way I can see a plan that makes this happen right now. I don't understand it. I'm laughing at it. Think Sarah and Abraham. Sarah being told by the angels, I'm going to have babies, and she just laughs. Okay, whatever. These guys don't get it. My family has a story. I might have shared it before, but I want to share this again. There was an African guy who left his village in eastern Transvaal, the eastern part of South Africa, and went to Johannesburg to work in the gold mines. While he was at the gold mines, there was a revival service being led by a white man, and he got saved at this revival service. After his time in the gold mines was done, he went back to his village, and no one in his village knew anything about the Lord, and he didn't know enough, he didn't think, so he prayed. He prayed, he said, God, send a white missionary to my village to start a church. That was his dream, and he had no way to make it happen. He didn't know how. All he had to do was hope and pray. So, go to my great-grandfather, whose first name, by the way, was Dallas. Dallas Ned Freeman, okay? Which is why I still think one of my sons should have been named Dallas. But anyway, okay, so he was a Georgia boy, rural Georgia peanut farm. And he was the son, and his job was to walk behind the mule planting the peanuts. He's out there one afternoon. This is after Azusa Street. It spread eastward, and he gets saved in a Pentecostal holiness revival in like 1914. And so he's a 14-year-old, and he's talking to God. He's got this new experience. He's everything. And he heard God say to him, Ned, I want you to go to Africa. And he's a 14-year-old peanut farmer. So he had to find Bible school to get trained in that. He got married. His family and his wife's family, rural Georgia, 1916, 17, 18, disowned him because he was going to go to Africa to help people as a missionary. Leave the family, leave the farm, and go do something that to them was abhorrent. So he lost his family connections. He went through the years of Bible school training, went over to Africa, got himself established. One day, they sent him out and they said, find a place in the eastern part of the country to start a church. He and my Grand Lula drove out there, got out there, saw a hill, and they saw a tree on top of the hill. And they went there, and he sat under that tree, and he prayed, and he said, this is the spot. Richmond, they eventually called it Richmond Station. Well, one of the first things you do when you get into an area like that is you go see the village that's in the area, and you talk to the chief. He went, talked to the chief. The chief brought him back up to the tree, and my grandfather explained, this is, or great-grandfather, this is kind of what I want to do here. This was the black man who had gone to the gold mines, who had come back and had been praying his entire life for a missionary to come to his village and start a church. That tree and that hill was where this chief had gone out and done his prayers. That chief had a dream. He had no way of making it happen. It was this no way God somewhere out there that a missionary would come to his village and start a church and get his tribe saved. So I have a little place in my heart for no way dreams. I got a lot of them. And if 99 of them don't come true, that's okay, because I got one. I got one that will come true. Now, Proverbs 13:12 tells us this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I think we all quote that one quite a bit. I know I have. But I forget the second part of it. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Well, I want my tree of life to come. But in the meantime, while I've got these dreams and hopes, how do I not let my heart be sick? I don't want to go through that sick period. I don't want my heart to be like that. But I want to reach that tree of life portion. So what do I do? Well, Romans 12, 10 through 12. Let's read that. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That's a great long list of things to be doing. But if I've got a dream out there and it's not happening, I don't want to be pining away, making my heart sick. So what can I do? First of all, be kindly affectionate to one another. I can be in an atmosphere with other believers built on love. So if my heart is hurting or it's sick, the love I'm feeling from the friends who I trust around me can help my heart, and I can help their heart. That's a good first step. In honor, giving preference to one another, serve someone else's dream. My dream is on the back burner right now. I'm going to go for your dream, because one day I want to see your tree of life come true. All right. Not lagging in diligence. Well, it's not going to happen. Poor me. I'm just going to, my heart's sick. And usually when our heart's sick, we're not doing anything. We're lagging. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. My heart may feel this way, but my spirit, I'm going to follow what my spirit's saying, and it's going to help my heart. I'm going to get excited about something. I'm going to get involved in something, and I'm going to serve the Lord. Lord, I don't know why my dream or why my desire isn't happening out here. Lord, what are your dreams and your desires that I can serve right now, that I can submit my life to? I'm going to go for it. Why did I use this scripture? Rejoicing in hope. You're not giving up the rejoicing of your hope while you're doing this. Even though tribulations are there. The next line is patient in tribulation. You have hope for the future. Right now you're going through something. Keep the hope, keep the joy while you're going through the tribulation. It doesn't say give up the hope so you won't have the tribulation. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, hey, hope makes your heart sick, so don't do it. It says one day that tree of life is going to come. That desire is going to come. Now, what was next? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Steadfast to me means whether you feel like it or not. You know, that sometimes in Christianity there's that thing where it's like, put your boots on, go out and do it. It's there. You got to do it. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. How many times have we read just in these three verses where it's saying, hey, others, kindly affectionate to one another, serve the Lord. You may be going through something. Don't sit there focusing on what you're going through. Find someone else who has a need. Be hospitable to them. Focus on their need. So, I want to end with Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have given you a future and a hope. By definition, those are things way off. Maybe the next day, but they're off there. How do I get there? What do I do? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I like hope. I like the God of hope filling me with joy and peace in believing for something. I like that word believing there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Believing in hope. Believing in God that some way, somehow. But Lord, if it doesn't happen, I'm willing to let it go. My hope is not totally bound up in my dream coming true. My hope is bound up in the God of hope. So I trust you, God. If my dream goes, then I trust you have something else for me. But as we're stirring up dreams and hopes, I want to stir up the God of hope in you. That you would believe, that you would rejoice in hope, that you might be going through a time of tribulation now. What can I do now? Find someone else's dream to latch onto and serve them. Serve each other. Let's pray, and then we'll worship together. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for good friends and for trust. And thank you, God, for dreams. But Lord, I also thank you for reality, that we have both, that we're called to walk in both, the already but not yet. Lord, I pray and I continue to pray that you would stir us up to believe that dreams we have for our lives, for our families, for our marriages, for our jobs, for our careers, God, that we would have hope, that we know you have something for us, that you have a future and a hope. Lord, I pray for any hearts that have, because of the deference, Lord, that have been made sick, Lord, I pray that your hope would flood those hearts and heal those areas, Father. Lord, we pray for those sicknesses of heart, God, that you would gently massage those hearts and that you would bring your healing, God. In your name, amen.